Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Coming up a little bit later on, late tonight, the exclamation point on the Group 1 International Stakes season down in Hong Kong. So we'll have Dick Powell join us to take a look at the four Hong Kong International races. Aidan O'Brien has some runners in there. Bolshoi Ballet, who we remember from winning at Belmont earlier this year. Some other interesting horses, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But one of my favorite tracks, Oaklawn, they opened early this year. They opened up last week. I think there's always a lot of value down there, a lot of fun. So I thought, who better to talk to than our friend Nancy Holthus, kind of set us up for the meet a little bit, maybe give a couple ideas for this afternoon. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. It's good to hear from you, and kind of weird to do it in December.
Exactly. As I said, I love Oaklawn, so give me a couple extra months, and I'm perfectly happy. I think a lot of bettors are as well, and we'll talk some Oaklawn in just a minute. Before we do that, didn't get a chance to talk to you. It's summertime, you're at Indiana Grand. Fill us in on how the Indiana Grand season went this year. It seemed like it went very well, and I love the fact that they kind of juggled things around. Indiana Grand's a lot of fun now because they plant those stakes races the middle of the week, which makes the midweek kind of fun out at Indiana.
Yeah, you know what? That is a absolutely fantastic thing to do, and it's always a big handle booster. And the handle on those turf races midweek is just sky high. So a really good thing to do being dark on weekends, because you're going up against those heavy hitters, you know, out at Del Mar, out at at Saratoga. So you wind up being kind of a key product early in the week. So the handle was up over all this year, and they just put out the new dates for 2022. And I just saw a tweet that Bill Downs is not going to be returning. So kind of some sad news there, but happy that he is going to be moving on and doing some things that he and his lovely girlfriend Megan are going to be pursuing some things in their future.
Yeah, I saw that news as well, and it sounds like Bill is just, yeah, it's just kind of a life change kind of thing, and he's going to move on, but he does a great job out there, so I'm sure you guys are going to miss Bill, because he does a great job out there. It's going to be interesting to see what he goes on to next, but it'll be fun to see whenever an announcer moves on. It's always fun to see the musical chairs among the announcers. It'll be interesting to see who winds up at Indiana Grand. Let's shift our attention now, though, to Oaklawn, and I'm in here doing the afternoon handicapping show normally, and last Sunday, you were in the winner's circle, but not in your normal interview the winner mode. You were in as part of the picture taking, as your husband Paul had a nice winner last Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, did Vic say that the jockey on there, that was her first win at the track?
Well, that was her first win at Oaklawn, Kylie Jordan. She's represented by Jose Santos, and I call him the Jerry Maguire of agents, because he's representing jocks all over the country. We actually won two that day, and it was kind of fitting because, unfortunately, you know, we were on the duck this whole spring meeting, didn't make a single trip to the winner's circle. Ooh. So I like to say we're making up for lost time. So technically, Seth, we did get a couple wins in 2021. So, you know, I like to put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay glass half full. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm counting it. It's still 2021. So very
exactly.
Good. Yeah, it was fun to see it. I wanted to touch on another couple of fun subjects, because I went to your Twitter feed and I picked up a picture. I thought there may be one on there, but also opening day. I was watching your pregame show. I'm usually sitting in here in the studio, and I have a number of monitors and can watch. And so I was watching you and Vic on the pregame show, and I laughed. I almost texted you and said, I want one of those. Whereas the GM, I believe, walked in and gave you the handicapping champion belt from last year.
Oh,
and I thought, that's great.
Gosh. That was the closest I have come to cussing on air, because that was – everybody knew it but me, apparently. That was – and it's hanging in my office right now. That is by far the coolest thing I have ever received. And anybody that knows me knows that I am a diehard MMA fan. And, you know, they presented that thing to me. I'm watching the UFC pay-per-view tonight, so I might have to actually take that home and wear it, because there's two title fights. So I might have to wrap that around my waist, and, you know, because, and still, you know, when they announce that. So, you know, when Bruce Buffer goes to announce that, you know, it's either and new or and still. So I am doing everything I have in my dark soul to retain that belt. It won't fit around Vic, so it will fit around me. You know, I'm on the last hole, so I'm doing everything I can. I'm texting trainers in the morning. You know, I'm using all resources, Seth, to retain that bloody belt. So.
And that's daily handicapping at the pregame show, you and Vic, right?
Yes. Yes, and I actually wore that belt all day.
I was going to say, I laughed because I tuned in later in the day, and you were in the paddock with the belt on. I thought, oh, that's great. That's classic.
And Vic said, oh, you know, it's luck. I said, no, baby, it is skill. Don't think, I've been doing this a long time. You know, just because I don't play tournaments at Del Mar and everything, let's not get it twisted.
Very good. Congratulations. Like I say, that was great. But then I went down your Twitter feed a little more, and I pulled up a couple other pictures, because you had a picture of Chindi, and I wanted to show that because I know people of my generation, it goes back a ways. But I was amazed when you said Chindi, 28 years old. And I also pulled up a replay of the 1998 Count Fleet. And as I say, people have been watching the game as long as me remember Chindi, particularly because you got the nice gray horse there coming down the stretch. And as I say, the 1998 Count Fleet was one of the big wins for this millionaire. And again, the picture of you and Chindi, very nice. And I couldn't believe 28 years old.
Yeah, and he earned that million the hard way.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have actually tried to turn him out. You know, people say, why don't you retire him? Oh, they have tried. He hates retirement. I mean, he sulks. He likes the schedule and the practice of going to the track every day, being in that barn environment. Some horses are just cut from that cloth, and Chindi is one of those. And, you know, and it's interesting, Steve Hobby told me the other day, he was actually, I believe, a May or a June foal, which is nowadays pretty much unheard of. You know, typically you're an early or, you know, spring foal, but he was a very late foal, and he still absolutely loves going to the track. That is what he will do until his final days.
That's great. And I have one other picture that I thought I'd bring up, because I have said from my visit to Oaklawn, and I was envious. Opening week, I'm on the radio with Steve Bick on Sirius XM every week, and last week I was on and Rick Hammerly was on at the same time, and Bick was down at Oaklawn, and I was envious because I'd love to get back there. And I've always said, from my visit to Oaklawn, it's very Saratoga-esque, similar background to the town with the springs and whatnot. There was a picture on your Twitter that kind of indicated, because we're all in up here at Saratoga. The news media talks about the track when it opens up, and the town gets into it as well. But I was amazed that down there was a picture of you getting ready to interview Brad Cox at what looks to be a local event, the Little Rock Chamber of Commerce puts together an event to preview the meet.
Yeah, it's tradition. The North Little Rock Chamber of Commerce puts this amazing event on. It's called the Kickoff Banquet, and it's at Frank Fletcher, who's a very prominent owner and businessman. It's at his hotel in North Little Rock, and Brad came in for the evening, and I finally got to sit down, interview him, and, you know, to kick off the evening, him being a Kentucky boy, we did a nice little shot of bourbon to kick off the evening, and told some amazing stories, and, you know, he's had a decent year, some would say. You know, it's okay. But, you know, we had a great time telling stories, you know, really got Brad out of his shell, and we had a phenomenal, phenomenal evening and did some auction items, and I told him, it was so funny because, you know, Brad not yet is able to, you know, kind of hold a mic on his own like, say, Dwayne Lucas is. So I was going to do the interview part, and Brad had texted me while I was en route to North Little Rock, and he said, "You are going to this thing tonight, right?" You know, kind of, you know, making sure I was going to be there. So I replied back, "No, I think Paul and I are going to go to dinner." So he responds, "Well, shit." So I replied back, "No, I'm just kidding. I'm on my way." So he's like, "Oh, thank God." So it was kind of funny, you know, pulling that. Sorry, I cussed on your show, but you know, it was just kind of funny. You know, he was like, "Oh crap, now what am I gonna do?" But I said, "No, Brad, I got your back. You follow me, you'll be fine. I'll wrap you in a cuddly little blanket. You're good to go."
He had the hamina hamina moment. Hamina hamina hamina.
Exactly. You gotta mess with them a little bit every now and again.
I'm sure it was very good though. But again, I just appreciated seeing that. It's great to see a local community get into it. Like I say, they do up here at Saratoga every year, but I'm sure a lot of venues it's not quite the same. So it's great to see that there's a big kickoff to the meet and whatnot. And talk a little bit about the mentality down there and, you know, the entry box and whatnot leading into this early start down there. People excited?
Absolutely. You know, it's just that much early that people come into the community. It brings in, you know, that much more. You can go to any restaurant and there's still racing on TV, whether it's, you know, on TVG at night. Obviously, it's, you know, quite a bit of harness. Which there's nothing wrong with, by the way. But it's great that, you know, people will go to the restaurants and still talk about who they bet that day or, you know, talking about the new hotel. Oh, have you stayed in the hotel yet? Have you eaten at the Bugler? So there's a lot of new things at the track this year as well. And it's interesting to have Gary Stevens here as an agent. So, you know, I did a hit with him earlier on opening weekend, and we kind of delay the hit because people were constantly coming up to him, "Can I have your autograph? Can I get your picture?" So, you know, I was the one stepping out of the way saying, "Oh, yeah, let me take it for you," you know. So it's really cool to see that, you know, Oaklawn racing, it is a celebrity sport. It's our professional sport, even though we still praise our Arkansas Razorbacks, that horse racing is our professional sport in the state of Arkansas, and people always look forward to the horses and the people coming back to Hot Springs.
Yeah, as I say, very Saratoga-esque, because we feel the same way up here about Saratoga. It's our pro sport, and the kids standing outside the jockey's room waiting for goggles or an autograph or whatnot. Very similar down there at Oaklawn. And just before we get to some thoughts today, let's talk a little bit of the human side, because I pulled up some pictures from last year's leaders, Ricardo Santana on the jockey side, Steve Asmussen on the trainer side. Now, part of Santana's success last year was Steve Asmussen, and it looks like maybe things aren't as close there. He's still using some Santana, but the past month or so, maybe not as much. But I also put up a picture when he gets healthy again. I think he's going to be a really good addition to the jockey colony down there. Joel Rosario headed down to Oaklawn. Talk a little bit about the human side of things this year.
Yeah, as you've noticed in the entries, Stephen Ricardo, you know, that kind of started happening in the end of Kentucky. Yeah. And Steve is really starting to utilize other members in the jockey colony. So he still does ride certain horses, and I'm thinking that's for certain owners. But it's interesting to see some of the other riders that he is utilizing. So it's going to be an interesting kind of psychological thing, I think. You know, when it's interesting, yesterday, you know, we saw the return of Nashville coming off of that significant break. He returned, and Hollis from the barn of Johnny Ortiz actually won the race and set a new track record. So the pilot on Hollis was, ironically, Ricardo Santana. So you kind of have to think, is Ricardo on every horse when Steve has a horse in that race? Is he gunning for him? Or, you know, I mean, it really is a psychological mind game in this sport. So you kind of have to look, okay, does Steve have a horse in here? Who's Ricardo named on? So, I mean, there's a lot now more handicapping that way that goes into the diagram. So it is an interesting dynamic going into the jocks room and into the paddock and onto the racetrack.
Absolutely. We just watched the stretch run from yesterday, and it was a nice win by Hollis. And again, it was a comeback off a year for Nashville. We'll have to see how he follows that up. But yeah, Asmussen, obviously one of the trainers to watch down there. Robertina Diodoro, I've been in the afternoon doing handicapping, and I've looked at Oaklawn over the past few days, and I've mentioned Diodoro a number of times, mainly because he's kind of a savvy claiming guy, particularly with his owner's M&M. And boy, that claim box down at Oaklawn is just, it's nuclear down there. And so I think Diodoro has to be paid attention to. Florent Giroux will be an interesting jockey to watch as well. I think, as always, it's fun on the human side down at Oaklawn. But I think over this year and the past couple of years, it's become more interesting as some new faces have shown up.
Yeah, and it's great to have Giovanni Franco back. He was a very successful rider here several years back prior to his pilgrimage out to Southern California. And also Tiago Pereira will be here directly after Christmas, both of them represented by Gary Stevens. So they're just a couple of the new faces that are in the jockey colony, as is Luis Contreras coming back. He's very, I love the way he rides, obviously earning a couple of prominent awards up in Canada. He actually is the pilot on Superstock today. So Steve utilizing him already through the race meet. And we're going to see some prominent shippers coming in from the barn of Tom Amos, as he has the horse that is just 3-1. And that horse is third on the morning line and defeater in today's feature.
Yeah, and let's take a look at that. The Poinsettia, $150,000 up for grabs, a mile and a 16th, the trip. And I pulled up the Zia Park Derby to take a look at the last win by Superstock, but maybe more notable, really one of the fun stories from last year with Superstock was also earlier this year, the winner of the Arkansas Derby. A fun story because of Steve Asmussen winning for his dad, who is a part owner, and one of his kids rode the horse earlier in his career. So there was just all kinds of family ties, and they were looking to sell the horse, but with the pandemic, that didn't pan out. So they wind up holding on and winning the Arkansas Derby. So again, with the nice win over the track, coming out of the Zia Park win last time, to me, Superstock is clearly the horse to beat in the Poinsettia this afternoon. But what are your thoughts in the race?
Yeah, it's interesting that his son Keith was the one that galloped this horse up to the Arkansas Derby. And as you mentioned, coming off that very nice win at Zia Park with Irad Ortiz in the irons. I actually took some video, and it's posted on Twitter, of Superstock in the paddock yesterday schooling with one of Steve's primary assistants, Darren Fleming. And when they saddled this horse, he was an absolute monster, and it was every attempt to get the tack on this horse, and I called Darren over and I said, I don't remember him being this much of a handful, and Darren said he wasn't. He wasn't even this way at Zia Park. So he's really feeling into himself. So I'm hoping that he's not quite as much of a handful as he was yesterday as he is today. So not kind of sure what got into himself yesterday, but normally he's really calm, he's really relaxed, but he was definitely in full bear mode yesterday. It's interesting that Tom Amos brings up Defeater. Tom has had very good success with horses shipping up. Carl Broberg, that horse comes off a really impressive effort in that Delta Mile and got Ramon Vasquez in the irons, and that was against older runners. And Defeater coming off that very nice seven-length plus allowance at Churchill Downs around that one-turn mile. So I don't think Superstock has it locked up by any means. They are definitely going to make him work for that effort.
Let's turn the page, and we'll take a look at the late double today. There's a money allowance that is race number 10, a mile and a 16th. I use the 8 on top, Mr. Tip. It's Mike Maker and the aforementioned Ricardo Santana. I just thought the horse might be a cozy fit coming in from Churchill, cozy fit with this bunch. I thought Palace Coup, though, was also dangerous for Robertino Diodoro. So I added 8, 3, 9, and 5. What did you think in the 10th?
Well, I think I might go for I do like Phil D'Amato. I love that he is back here at Oaklawn Park. Sometimes we have seen Southern California horses possibly needing a race over this track prior to really supporting them financially. I think we saw that yesterday with the Rene Amescua horse. I'm actually going to go for a long shot. I'm going to go with the number one quarterback Dak from the barn of Al Cates. If you look at this horse's last race, he ran against some absolute bears at Keeneland against a second-level allowance, optional 62,500. He ran third at 51-1 and had Martin Garcia in the irons. He shows a lot of natural speed. We've really seen speed holding, and I actually like that rail position for him. So Martin Garcia, I think, is going to start lighting up. He shares the same agent with Florent Giroux, that being Doug Bradar. So I'm actually going to go with a bit of a long shot in here with the number one quarterback, Dak.
I like it.
Dak?
Nancy?
I'm not a Cowboy fan. You're going to have to help me.
I barely watch the NFL anymore because I'm a Jets fan. and as a Jets fan, I checked out like 6 years ago. And then I graduated from Syracuse, so their football season is gone to me. I root for Syracuse basketball, so I'm into the SU basketball now.
The one pro football player I know actually graduated from Syracuse. So there you go.
Perfect. Nancy, as always, we appreciate the visit, and I will sign you off saying it was great talking to you, champ.
Thank you.
With the belt, as they say, I got a laugh out of that the other day. That's great. And again, appreciated talking to you, setting up the meet. We will certainly check in as the meet progresses. So have a great day.
It is always my pleasure, and good racing.
Thanks. Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park. Again, the early start down at Oaklawn this year. As I say, I love the Oaklawn racing, so I'm perfectly happy having a little extra Oaklawn. All right, we'll take a break. As promised earlier, late night tonight, the Hong Kong International races, four great Group 1 races. They will offer some fun competitive betting opportunities, and we will get some ideas on those races from our friend Dick Powell right after the break. Stay tuned.
is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and as happens occasionally, racing across the globe sometimes with some of the international racing we hit on either in Europe or over in Asia, and that's the case today, Asia, Hong Kong, the Hong Kong International Races. Our friend Dick Powell following international racing quite closely, and Hong Kong in particular this time of year, so I thought we'd reach out to Dick. And Dick, I will ask you, A, good morning, and B, do I have it labeled right? This is kind of, I think, year in and year out, the exclamation point on the international Group 1 racing scene, the Hong Kong International Races.
Yeah, it really is. It hits a spot on the calendar that you could race in the fall, and some of these trainers, especially with the, you know, experienced type horses, they're able to keep them fit, show up in Hong Kong. They pretty much know they're going to get firm turf. So they know the conditions going in. It's a shot 10 is a big, wide, sweeping course, over a quarter mile finish and a long run down the backstretch. So it's pretty favorable to shippers because there's no real bias.
All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of the action. Four Group 1 races this evening, late night tonight. As I said, you can bet early and watch replays tomorrow, or if you're a late night person, check in late and watch and play live. But the fourth race at Sha Tin, mile and a half on the turf. It's the Hong Kong Vaz. I pulled up a replay going back to May, the pre-LA France at eBay Air. I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but it's going to be this one in the green silks, winds coming down the stretch. As I say, this is going back to May. But I thought this horse was maybe a little bit interesting with Christophe Soumillon on board this evening. So I'm going Ebier in here. What are your thoughts on the Vaz?
Well, she's been getting soft and heavy ground, and now she gets firm. Her trainer is one of the all-time great, Alain de Royer-Dupre. This is his last starter. He's 75 years old. He was going to retire last year. The Aga Khan asked him to stay on an extra year. Christophe Soumillon is a regular rider in France, is back aboard. By Distorted Humor, doesn't have the usual Aga Khan type pedigree that we see. It's a homebred, as all his horses are. So that should be interesting. She breaks from post five. Right now in the betting market, she is fourth choice. She's not taking a lot of money. She's 6.5 to 1 in America. So if you like her, you're going to get the, you know, $13 winner. The favorite is number 2, and the horse I'm going to go with, Glory Vaz. You know, maybe it's coincidence. I like Glory Vaz and the Vaz. You know, what are you going to say? And she's already won this race. She won the race in 2019. Didn't have many starts in 2020, but has come back this year with some really good efforts, including a second to Love's Only You, going a mile and a quarter. This trip at a mile and a half is much better for her. And he picks up Joe Marrera, who's always one of the leading riders in Hong Kong, was a leading rider last year, second this year. So gets kind of the home court edge with the rider. I'm sure Joe will move this one up. I don't expect him to trail. I think he'll get a pretty prominent position. They're going to start far down the races of right to left, so they're going to about a quarter mile run to the finish line and then go around one lap. But right now, Glory Vaz is the even money favorite.
What are your odds saying on Pile Driver? On the PPs I have, Pile Driver was actually the morning line favorite, but how's that one shaking out now?
Well, the great thing with Hong Kong is 24 hours before the first race, they take betting. And they take betting in all the pools, and they post all the odds. So for all the races, the odds are up. Now, obviously, they're going to change, but it gives you an indication. So Pile Driver is the second choice at $8.60 to win. Martin Dwyer for William Muir. This looks tough, a very game horse and well-traveled, should have no trouble with the mile and a quarter. And that price could go down, but I think Gloria Vaz will continue to be the favorite.
And I will say, Hong Kong does a great job getting information out and whatnot. And I pulled up on my computer. If you type into Google HKIR, you come to a Hong Kong International Races website, look for the form guide link, and they have a nice PDF that essentially is PPs, past performances, but you get nice bio information on the human connections as well. It's a nice little package on those. And again, if you type in HKIR in Google, you should get to the website. As I say, then look for the form guide link. All right, let's turn the page. Race number 5 at Sha Tin tonight is the Hong Kong Sprint. I pulled up going back to November 21st at Sha Tin, the race we're going to watch Lucky Patch win and Nabu Attack run second. I thought they were both live in here tonight as well, and so I thought it was worth taking a look at this race. Lucky Patch is going to be the number 7 in blue silks. Nabu Attack is the number 10, blue, white sleeves, and a red cap, and you'll see them prominent late. What are your thoughts, Dick, in the sprint?
Well, the local horses have won 7 of the last 8. Last year, Dannon Smash won this race for Japan. He is back. But I think the locals are super tough. I think that key race on the 21st was the definitive prep race for the sprint, except, it's one of those races, just because you won the prep doesn't mean you're going to win the main event. Now, Lucky Patch has been just sensational. He has 3 wins up in 107 and change. Now, that's pretty tough to do. And he's been an emerging horse. As a 4-year-old, he was good, not great. And then his rating kept climbing and climbing to now where, he's an internationally rated sprinter. His last couple of races have been sensational. The Boo Attack did beat him May 30th of last season. The Boo Attack is an Australian horse that has come to Hong Kong, but David Hayes, he's 4 go size. He's 1,380 pounds, and yet he's a sprinter. And Hayes has no intention of stretching him out. He comes from behind. He can go inside a horse. One of those races, he came up the rail and got second. The other race that you showed, he rallied down the middle of the track. I think there's going to be a hot pace, and I think Nabu Attack will be able to run them down. I like Lucky Patch as well as Pixie Knight, the Japanese 3-year-old, who looks like he may have found a home going 6 furlongs and will probably be kept at that distance. But Nabu Attack, number 8, is my pick.
Yeah, and I'll toss in, I was on with Steve Bick. I know you've been on this week as well, talking about these races. But I was on right after Pat Cummings, who was based out in Hong Kong for a while before he came back to the States. And he was high on Pixie Knight in here, another one of those horses you mentioned. So I think it's going to be a fun race, the sprint. We'll turn the page now. Race number 7 is the Hong Kong Mile. This is just going to be one of the highlights of the night because how often do we see undefeated horses? And Golden 60 is one of those based out there. I'm going to pull up his last race. Golden 60 is going to be on the outside, the number 1, white with a yellow cap. Golden 60 wins this race at Sha Tin on November 21st to run the record to 10-for-10. So obviously he's going to take a lot of action tonight in the Hong Kong Mile. What are your thoughts?
He won this race last year as the heavy favorite. He's coming in a little bit differently this year with only 1 prep. I think trainer Francis Loy wants to possibly go overseas next year. So he's kind of racing him a little lighter. He's a six-year-old gelding. He's bimedallion out of a distorted human mare. So he has an American pedigree, bred in Australia, foaled in Australia, and ridden by local rider Vincent Ho and trained by local trainer Francis Loy. So real international story here. Right now, he is the heavy favorite. He's odds on probably 2-5 at post time. I think he's beatable tonight. And I'm going to go with the 2, Dannon Kingley from Japan. And when you look at his record, he had been running longer distances. He has when you look at his best performances, you see Almanai is one of the all-time greats over there. Off the layoff, he's had 2 starts this year. 1 in June when he won the Yasutakinen Group 1 Going a Mile. And he did it from post 11, an outrageous time, and beat Grand Allegria, who probably is the best turf miler in the world. Came back in a mile and an eighth race, was second by a head, and that race went in 1:44 and change. So he likes firm ground. Obviously, he's going to get firm ground. I don't expect him to drop too far back from post 9. But remember, this is a long one-turn mile, so they just have a half-mile run down the backstretch. They go into one turn, and then they have a quarter-mile finish. So I think Dannon Kingley will be the strong horse in the stretch. Golden 60 wins. He usually wins pretty close finishes. He always has that little bit extra. But from post 2, Vincent Ho is going to have to make some decisions about justifying, do I save ground or do I tip out and avoid getting shuffled into traffic? So I think that might be his undoing, and I like number 2, Dannon Kingley. Right now is 10-1. This is a $22 horse you're looking at right now, and I'll gladly take that.
Yeah, my morning line had him sitting at 3-1 as the second choice. I'll also remind people as we're talking about the 2 horse and one of them, and you mentioned it earlier with post position. Over there, folks should remember when you pull up the PPs, the number of the horse that you're going to use when you bet is not necessarily the post position over there. So if post position matters, and it should, just double check as you're going down the PPs. The PPs make it clear. I'm looking at the PPs for the Hong Kong Mile. You have number 1, but it clearly says PP post position number 2. Dannon Kingley is the number 2 horse, but post position number 9. So just a reminder, though, for folks, do double check that as you're handicapping. Aidan O'Brien in that race has Mother Earth as a little bit of a price. And as we turn the page, I pulled up a replay of an Aidan O'Brien runner in the upcoming Hong Kong Cup. That'll wind up that Group 1 action tonight, the 8th race down at Sha Tin, 1.25 on the turf. And the Hong Kong Cup, as I say, I pulled up a replay. Bolshoi Ballet, just because it's a familiar name, and the horse did win this race at Belmont earlier this year, the Belmont Derby Invitational. I'm not sure the subsequent races tout Bolshoi Ballet much, but it is Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore electing to take a shot over in Hong Kong. But what are your thoughts on the Cup?
Well, this is his distance. He does like 1.25. The 1.5 of the Breeders' Cup turf was a little bit too far for him. So I think at 1.25, he will be a lot tougher. And Seth, with your point about the post position, that is true around the world.
Yeah.
If you bet any international race, the post position does not equal the saddle cloth number. They're done completely differently. So you always look for what they call a draw. Well, where did they draw into the race? And that's not that's hardly ever, unless it's a coincidence, the program number that you're betting on. So that's true everywhere but the United States and Canada. So
I will say, I give us a thumbs up there. I like our system better.
Well, yes, here's the thing. Like in Hong Kong, they're all handicap races. So the number 1 rated horse who carries the highest weight is number 1.
Yeah, okay.
So at a glance, you can tell results. You're looking at results and you see 8, 10, 11. Well, that means the lightweights won, the lower weighted horses.
Yeah, that's fair.
1, 2, 3s are the high rated horse. Now, that's true in handicap races. And weight for age races, believe it or not, the program number is usually done in alphabetical order. And I've shown people this, and they're like, really? And then they'll say, well, what about this? I said, well, that's because you got fillies in the race, and then they have their own alphabetical order. So it's a system that everyone but North America uses. It's no big deal, but just be aware of what the post positions are, and you'll be fine.
Your thoughts in the Cup?
Well, Loves Only You has won in Hong Kong already, ran tremendous in Dubai against Mishriff, winner of the Saudi Cup, came back to America, won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf to become the first of two Japanese horses to win a Breeders' Cup race. She had a nightmare trip and still prevailed at the wire. And now she gets, to me, a class drop, dropping in against these horses who are good but not great. The local horses, they're okay, but they tend to, like, beat each other. You know, no one really stands out like a Golden 60 does in the mile. So I think Loves Only You from post four can get a nice trip. She does have some tactical speed. She won't be too far behind. This race is going to start about a furlong before the start-finish line and then go around one lap. So I think he can tuck in, save ground. And as you saw in the Breeders' Cup Turf, I mean, she'll go between horses. She's as game as could be. So right now she's a $6 horse. She's 3-1 over there, which is 2-1 over here. So that's a nice price on her. And second, I'm going to go with another Japanese horse, the 11, Le Papal. Sumion rides this one. It's taken money. It's a daughter of Deep Impact. So you got two Deep Impact females in the race, and I expect them to run 1-2. Her form is very good coming into the race. She started out her career in fantastic form, winning 5-6 in a row. And she's been in against much tougher, but that's okay. She's been in against Chronogenesis and really top horses over there. Now she gets the mile and a quarter, which I think is right in her zone. And she will be tough with Sumion, who's just, to me, just one of the world's great riders.
Yeah, it's, again, a really nice, fun night and a great exclamation point, again, on the international group season with the Hong Kong International races every year, wrapping things up in December. And, Dick, we appreciate your thoughts. As I say, you pay attention to the international races this time of year, particularly Hong Kong, so appreciate your follow-up there. Haven't talked to you since the Breeders' Cup. Anything stand out there? And I will say, because we talked about it with Brian Addo, he's based down at Gulfstream now in the championship meet, and we talked a little bit on the handicapping show about the potential of the Pegasus and coming out of the Breeders' Cup. We both said the same thing. Fingers crossed, but coming out of the nice performances in the Breeders' Cup, the Pegasus this year will be phenomenal if it does wind up being Life Is Good and Nick's Go.
Yeah, without a doubt, you always hope for those scenarios. Knock on wood, get them to the race. I think Nick's Go is back on the track with a timed workout.
Yeah.
Either yesterday or this morning, and hopefully Todd will have Life Is Good out as well, and then we can kind of see where they are with their training. But, yeah, that'll be a terrific race. I was at the symposium with Steve, and that was interesting. I think horse racing, HISA, the Horse Racing Integrity Act, is not going according to plan. They're behind, and I think they're trying to lower expectations now. So they did a couple of panels, and there were a lot of questions they did not have answers to. And here it is December, and they don't even have a list of therapeutic medications and withdrawal times. I said they were working on them. Kind of frightening that in December they don't have a lot of these things wrapped up. So that was interesting. And the other thing at the symposium was sports betting, its relationship to horse racing. Some think it's going to help, some think it could hurt. There was a very good presentation by a gentleman, I think his name was Andrew Moore from FanDuel. And he had really good statistics as far as demographics, horse racing, betting, age groups, things like that, where the money's going, where the money's growing. And I thought that gave the most optimism that sports betting could, in fact, help horse racing.
Yeah, I was looking at the follow-ups, and I wish I'd been out there this year. All the topics they hit, I thought, were pertinent. Some of these symposiums or, you know, the various gatherings around the country, you get your hit or miss with the topics they cover. But HISA, as you say, when they put out the information a few weeks ago, people are kind of scratching their head. And again, the timeline is getting a little, things are getting tight. You know, we're still, there's still time. But when you think of the largesse of this movement, the time is not that great. And so HISA being discussed. Contests were discussed a little bit, as you say, sports betting and horse racing. And another topic that was discussed out there, and I'm going to be interesting to see, because I guess it's going to come sooner rather than later down in New Jersey at Monmouth, but fixed odds betting. I'm curious as to the mechanics of it and how it'll work out. At first blush, it sounds great, but I'm wondering how it really will all work out. If the horse you're really looking for winds up at fixed odds of 3-5, maybe it's not as exciting as we all thought, but I think it's going to be fun to see how it does work out.
Well, and Jersey has missed every deadline that they set for themselves. They thought they're going to have this for the Monmouth meet beginning in August and the Haskell and then select races. Jersey doesn't have a horseman issue because the track is owned by the Thoroughbred Horsemen Association, Dennis Drazen. So they're kind of implicit that the horsemen support this, but that may or may not be true in other states. And every state is going to be a little bit different as far as how they do this. There was a couple of people on the panel I thought spoke eloquently about the issue. There's a couple of people that are, I would deem, snake oil salesmen that are just out there looking to raise expectations, and I want to see it succeed. If you remember, Betfair launched in New Jersey,
And
it was a colossal failure. You don't even talk about it anymore.
Yeah,
you know? And I don't think this will be a failure, because when you look around the country, what's it's been doing, but it still has to be. If you're going to have fixed odds, it has to be done in a way that the public understands, and I don't think they fully understand it until they actually see it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I want to see how it plays out, and then I think people will buy in or not buy in. And yeah, perfect example of buying in or not buying in was that exchange wagering down in New Jersey, where they just didn't get, you know, the liquidity to keep it going. And you would think it sounded so attractive to people initially. Oh yeah, you could bet in the middle of the race and bet against other people and get better odds. And it just didn't play out, practically speaking, that way. Dick, appreciate the visit, the thoughts on Hong Kong and beyond. Happy holiday to you and yours, and we'll talk again.
Thanks for having me on, sir.
Appreciate it. Dick Powell, again, later on, late night tonight, Hong Kong International Races. And as I say, you can pull up the free PPs via Capital OTB. Go to the past performance section, look for Sha 10. And so there are PPs there, but there's a little more extensive package if you go to the Hong Kong International Races website. And as I say, I typed in Google, just HKIR, went to the site. And then you'll see a link to each of the four races. And here's how I got to the form guide. I clicked on one of those. And if you scroll down, you'll see a form guide link at the bottom. And that brings up that nice, the form guide is essentially the past performances. But it's a nice PDF package that has some bio information on jockeys and trainers, some historical information on past winners and whatnot, and then past performances also that are maybe a little more extensive. So you can look for that and pull that up as well if you'd like to take a look at the Hong Kong action for, again, later on, late night tonight, Hong Kong International Races. All right, I'm going to take another break. I'm going to come back, give you a little more on the news and notes side, and then we'll wrap things up for Racing Across America for Saturday, December. I'm zipping through the weekend because I can hear rain. I'm waiting for this weekend to get over. About the middle of the show, I can hear it pouring on the roof. It is again a miserable day in the Capital District. If you're going out to drive, by the way, take it slow, because coming down the Northway and on I-90. The roads, there is plenty of water on the roads. But again, for a Saturday edition of Racing Across America, we'll come back in a few and put a bow on it. Stay tuned.
Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off Exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTV.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Some news and notes. The good news continues as far as handle. If we're looking at the pandemic and looking for a silver lining, I guess horse racing has a little bit of a silver lining because the numbers have been really good. And I think horse racing early in the pandemic was able to take advantage of a period where there was no other sports and we had that limited number of tracks going. And then things continued. Television coverage has been nice of racing. But all of that said, they came out just 4 or 5 days ago with the November numbers, November handle numbers. Once again, they're good. This year as compared to last year, November to November, 7% increase, about 7.5% increase. Purses are up. Race dates are up. The number of races last year to this year, 25% increase on the number of races. Field size has gone down a little bit year to year. But again, those handle numbers are just phenomenal. Year to date, 2021 versus 2020, we're up 12%. I mean, that's crazy. Up 7% November to November, year to year, up 12%. And also the stats that were sent out, parsed out this year versus 2019. Kind of taking the pandemic out of it a little bit. Those numbers are very good. November 2021 to November 2019, we're up kind of a fraction, up just a little over 0.5%. But year to date, 2021 versus 2019, up over 10%, about 10.5%. So again, the numbers for horse racing, the handle numbers, just really kind of knocking it out of the park. Given the pandemic situation, I've said it all along. I think horse racing, as far as major sports, was maybe the one that really did it best and has kind of benefited from it. And there aren't a whole lot of silver linings necessarily, but maybe that's one of them with the pandemic. Some jockey news. Jose Ortiz will be staying in New York for the winter. Both he and Irod had gone down to Gulfstream in recent winters. But Irod, 28 years old, he's married, of course, and they have three children. And he says, my oldest child is getting closer to starting school in kindergarten next year. That has a lot to do with it. Talked to my wife. We decided to stay in one place. It's not easy on the kids to move from school to school. So, good for him. He's going to be staying in New York. As far as the cold weather, he says, hey, some days are better than others. I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. So Jose Ortiz sticking in New York. Mentioned it on the Handicappers Report earlier. Javier Castellano, however, was planning to stay in New York. He's gotten on a little bit of a roll maybe, and he's decided to go down to Florida for the winter, although he will be staying until the end of this current stint at Aqueduct. They're going to end on December 19th and then take a little break off until just after Christmas. They have a 10-day break before they come back. But Castellano going to be represented by P.J. Campo. And, again, be at Aqueduct until December 19th and then heads down to Gulfstream. So Jose Ortiz in New York, Castellano down to Florida. If you're looking in the PPs and you didn't hear, Irod Ortiz serving a 30-day suspension. Now, it's 30 calendar days, not 30 racing days, but he's still going to be on the sidelines for a while. So if you're looking for Irod Ortiz in the PPs, that's the situation. It was just about a week ago Friday's eighth race, and I said it when we were in here watching, doing the handicapping show during the OTB Live. And the stewards were looking at the situation. On the backstretch as they came into the turn, it may have even been before that. It may have been shortly, you know, furlong out of the gate, on the back stretch. He's on a horse on the outside, and he just kind of took a left turn, and a horse behind clipped heels, and jockey Omar Hernandez Marino went down, and it looked kind of bounced off the inner rail and then went to the ground. Now, subsequently, you could see as the camera moved just in the back of the picture, you could see him roll under. He made the right move, rolled under the rail. There was nobody behind him, but he wound up. Given the fact that you saw him roll, you thought, oh, well, that's a good sign. And subsequently, the horse and jockey Omar Hernandez Marino were said to be okay. So that's the great news. But, boy, it looked like, geez, I-Rod, that that was a little dangerous. Subsequently, we talked to Dave Grenig last Sunday, and we're talking about other topics, but brought this up. And I said, I'm assuming the stewards are going to take a look at this. And he said, probably going to make a decision. He thought by Zoom, because last Sunday, I-Rod was down in Puerto Rico riding. They had that, Classico Caribe, which has been run at Gulfstream in past years, but this year was down at the track in Puerto Rico, and I-Rod was down there, so he thought there may be a Zoom conference with the stewards. Anyway, the upshot is that they did suspend I-Rod Ortiz for 30 days. He did not appeal. He's going to take the suspension, so if you're looking for him, it'll be a while before he's back in racing, and I'm just kind of seeing. I don't know whether they had an actual date. The suspension, 30 calendar days, not racing days. And this article by Dave Grenig was written right after the suspension, so they weren't quite sure when the first day of the suspension would be, but I think it was pretty quickly after this article, so it will be early January, I suppose, before we see I-Rod back on track. So I-Rod Ortiz on the sidelines. More jockey news. Robbie Alvarado going to retire. Longtime jock, certainly familiar to everybody out in the audience. 48 years old. He's going to wind up his career after the seventh race today at Turfway. I would assume there will probably be a little turnout in the paddock or the winner's circle and maybe a little bit of a commemoration for a long and very good career. He won the 2007 Preakness on Curlin, rode Curlin in all but one of his 16 career starts, Dubai World Cup, Breeders' Cup Classic. Curlin went out on to be Horse of the Year. Has won well over 5,200 races. Has won over 5,200 from a career of over 35,000. He's won 220-some million dollars. So Robbie Alvarado going to retire after his finale at Turfway this afternoon. So there's some of the news, some jocks news, and that handle news as well. Didn't touch on, obviously, the big news from earlier in this week was the heart attack, the suspected heart attack suffered by Medina Spirit, the fatal heart attack by the Kentucky Derby winner, which then subsequently led to, unsurprisingly, some anti-racing articles. Boy, the columnist in the New York Post kind of just ill-conceived. Somebody who's clearly not even familiar with racing taking a big shot at horse racing. But this kind of thing, you know, the Baffert and the Derby situation you add into it, it just lent itself to some ugly shots being taken at horse racing this week, given that situation with Medina Spirit. But again, so some unfortunate news in the racing game as well. Fan Appreciation Day today at the Rivers Casino branch down in Schenectady. Swing by and take advantage of our Fan Appreciation Day event down there. Vouchers, programs, giveaways, and a contest as well. That's all this afternoon. Fan Appreciation Day at the Rivers Casino branch. Online, there's a $100 knockout challenge. If you'd like to participate, swing by CapitalOTB.com. And excuse me, NFL Sunday tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. Sundays throughout the NFL season, watch all the football action, all the racing action as well. Every Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. We appreciate the support. from our friends down at Gulfstream Park. And speaking of Gulfstream, just looking up, it looks like they're getting ready to kick off their pregame show. Maybe we'll listen to a little bit of that before we get to the NIRA pregame show. Gulfstream today will kick off at noon. Aqueduct will kick off at 12:20. I'm also going to be looking this afternoon during OTB Live at Oaklawn. They'll kick off our time at 1:30. All of that and more action coming up on OTB Live this afternoon. I'll jump in an hour or so. Well, I guess it's going to depend on when they wrap up the NIRA pregame show, but sometime in that hour or so period, we will kick things off for a Sunday or Saturday afternoon OTB Live. So stay tuned for all of that. Hopefully you enjoyed the morning programming. Got some good information to play the handicapping show. We gave you a Gulfstream and Aqueduct, Racing Across America, a little Oaklawn. And if you're going to stay up late, some Hong Kong international races as well. So hopefully, again, you made check marks and use that information to cash some tickets this afternoon, because that is what it's all about. Again, we'll be back in the afternoon with OTB Live in about an hour or so. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.